The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to the Seven Graces of Marketing, asking the question, how can we heal humanity and the planet by changing the way we sell? So let the dialogue begin. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, Voice America, and welcome to the Seven Graces of Marketing. My name is Lynn Serafin. I'm a marketer and author of the book, The Seven Graces of Marketing, How to Heal Humanity and the Planet by Changing the Way We Sell. And today is Monday, the 14th of May, 2012, and I'm sitting here across the pond from most of you today in the lovely Bedford, England. It's not that terribly lovely today. It's way too cold for the month of May. It's raining and it's gray. But we had a beautiful weekend, I have to say that. So I want to just appreciate that. For those of you who are new to the Seven Graces of Marketing, this is a show where you're going to be meeting, and you will have already met, some of today's leading authors, speakers, and change makers in the field of business, marketing, media, and our environment, and also our global society, who will be sharing insights not merely about the world of advertising, but also the future of our world at large, or at least that's my hope, my intention for this show. And today, we're going to be, for those of you who are not familiar with the Seven Graces of Marketing in general, they're from my book, Seven Graces of Marketing. They're a set of values and principles intended to provide a guideline or a model for business and marketing, and indeed life in general. And each of the seven graces has a corresponding deadly sin, which is awfully fun. Today we're going to be looking a little bit at the deadly sin of scarcity and its antidote, the grace of abundance. Now, a lot of people have tossed around that word abundance, and it's become kind of a new agey word. And I think of it in quite a different way from how it's portrayed a lot in the media. To me, abundance is a mindset that embraces the concept that there actually is enough in the world if we really understand the system. To me, it's a scientific approach of looking at the permaculture of the existence between nature and man and the economy and how all of these things work together. And when we get the rhythm right, that is actually enough for everybody. However, those of you who are in marketing, who are experienced in marketing, you know that the notion of scarcity in marketing is rife. And it's used in an awful lot of marketing. Scarcity marketing is even a term that people use. Now, in the book, Seven Graces of Marketing, I give loads of examples on how it's used and how it impacts the economy, how it impacts the environment, mostly in a negative way. But what if, as marketers, instead of inciting people to act through fear, anxiety, urgency, or indeed scarcity, what if we took a different approach to marketing that was based upon attraction instead of aversion? Well, that's what we're going to be discussing today. The show is called The Three Pillars of Attraction Marketing. And my special guest is UK marketer, public speaker, and CEO of Spiritus, the spiritual marketing directory, Sheila Jones. Now, Sheila is a close personal friend of mine, and she's got a lot to say. We've spoken on this topic before. I will be introducing her in just a few minutes. I know that you're going to get an awful lot of insight into some of her insights that she's going to be sharing, especially this model, the three pillars of attraction marketing that she's going to be sharing. And Sheila will be coming up in just a few minutes after these couple of announcements.
Stay connected. Sign up for our newsletter. Go beyond your favorite Voice America shows. Visit iradioblog.com.
How can we create a different kind of economy? How can we create truly ethical businesses? How can we heal humanity and the planet by changing the way we sell. This is Lynn Serafin, author of number one bestseller, The 7 Graces of Marketing. And I'd like to invite you to the 7 Graces Global Conference, June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. We're bringing together business and marketing professionals, eco groups, and conscious consumers to create a tipping point for positive change in our society, our economy, and our natural environment. You can join us either in person in London, England, or via interactive live stream from anywhere in the world. To be a part of this world-changing movement, go to thesevengracesofmarketing.com/7GGC. And that's the number 7, not the word. I hope to meet you at the 7 Graces Global Conference, and let the dialogue begin.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Welcome back to the 7 Graces of Marketing on Voice America. If you're in North America, you can join the dialogue today by calling into the show toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. Outside North America, call us on U.S. number 480-398-3352. Or, if you prefer to send us your question or comments via email, drop us a line at thesevengracesofmarketing.com/contact. That's the number 7, not the word. And now, let the dialogue continue. Okay, before I introduce Sheila, welcome back to the show, as was already said. Before I introduce Sheila, I want to tell you why I have the breaks where I do. I actually am trying, I'm experimenting with this show with a different kind of format. I don't like interruption, or what Seth Godin calls interruption marketing. I call it invasion marketing. I don't like it when the flow of things are interrupted and we kind of get into this ADD society where we can't follow what's going on. So the reason why I'm kind of front-loading the sponsor mentions toward the beginning of the show, so that once I get into the discussion with the guest, that we're kind of really flowing with that. So we only have one little break in the middle, so we kind of divide the conversation into two halves. So I'm experimenting with that. Would love to hear your feedback about how that works. Also, any of you who are interested in being a sponsor, I would love to create some different types of adverts that are on this program that are more talking about values and are not the typical the typical adverts that you may be hearing. So it's a new show, so I am looking for that. Contact me about that. Great. So I'm going to be introducing here Sheila Jones. She's a UK-based marketer, public speaker, and owner and CEO of Spiritus, the spiritual marketing directory. That's at www.spiritus.co. And make sure you put the www in, because as Sheila and I found out, when you don't, it actually takes you to a wine merchant. So it's www.spiritus.co. And for a long time, Sheila noticed that many business owners were not communicating effectively, and that's what made her create Spiritus. We're going to be finding a little bit about that story and what she actually noticed in that. And I'm going to welcome right now Sheila Jones.
Hello, Lynn. It's lovely to be here, and thank you for inviting me.
Well, and you and I always get into these big discussions, so I thought, why don't we just have it on the air? Sheila, so that people know a little bit about your background, before you went into doing what you're doing now, what's your background so people kind of understand where you're coming from?
Well, if you go right back, I trained as a polymer chemist. I was a scientist when I first left school. I then did the traditional thing of having family and really did very little for the next 20 years. After that 20 years, I left my husband and I suddenly had to sort of make some money. So I really started my working life at the age of 40. From then on, I, in various ways, worked with small businesses. I both ran 3 different businesses, 2 retail and 1 manufacturing. I worked with a range of businesses in marketing, in manufacture as well, some science-based, some not. And one of the things that I always found was that people had difficulty getting the message out, and I tended to gravitate towards that side. And I was always looking for a connection, a link, a reason for people to do business. Inherently, it felt right to me to look for people, not just for customers or for clients, but we were looking for people who were really right for that business and for that product, and finding that perfect connection where it was a win-win situation and where the people got on together. So it's been a pattern all the way through my relatively short working life. That's what I've been doing.
Well, it seems like a big leap to go from being a scientist. Sorry, Sheila, we're getting some feedback on your headset, so just maybe not be so close to speakers. It seems like a big leap to go from being a scientist to suddenly want to look into marketing. What enticed you to, you know, branch into that area?
I think because of working with the businesses that I was working with and seeing the struggle that they were all having. I did work for a couple of plastics businesses, and as I say, I ran my own business, and looking at particularly the manufacturing business, where obviously if you're running a business, you have to find clients. I found very early on, and this was unconscious at that time, I didn't realize what was happening. I found that I had to attract people who wanted the particular way that my business was set up. Mm-hmm. I didn't want 97% of the market. I wanted the 3%. And to actively say, I don't want the 97%, but I do want the 3%, and to market to them, I think is a great lesson in attraction marketing, though I didn't know it. It was 15 years ago.
And you know I totally concur with you on this, because when I do consulting for somebody new, say a small business owner, people do not realize that being very clear about who you're trying to attract, that is probably 90% of the job done. You know, it's just identifying that. Yeah. So what do you think is the reason why people don't do that? Why do we want to cast a wide net in marketing as a rule? Why do so many people fall into that trap?
Well, we were going to talk about scarcity, and I think that's absolutely what it is. I think they are terrified of, as they see, limiting themselves. They think, I mustn't limit myself. I must make sure that I appeal to everybody. I can't make a business just by appealing to a few. Mm-hmm. And there is this scarcity mentality that, whether they recognize it or not, that's where they're going to.
Mm. I feel like there's also, when I work with small business owners, it's also, there's a scarcity mentality about them thinking about their own impact as well, that they don't see that they have a much more potent impact in a smaller area than, it's like they kind of want to build the credibility everywhere. They want to see that they have credibility in all areas. And there's something about insecurity here now, but that's with small business owners. What's been your experience with larger companies? Because I know you had that experience too.
With the larger businesses, I think that they have this idea that they want to squash the competition. They want to be the tall tree, and they are, so they come from that point of view. It's not so much that they're not so much focused on the customers, they're focused on how they compare with everybody else in their marketplace.
So how does that link into the idea of scarcity, that thinking?
Well, because they think that they've got to have the biggest share of the marketplace. It's important that they have the big share.
So something about they're not being enough.
Yeah. Exactly.
And, you know, what do you think the impact of that kind of mentality, there's not enough, so we have to squash the competition. Let's stay on big business for a little while. What do you think that that creates in the market in general?
In terms of?
On society, on the economy, on the whole ethos of marketing in general?
I think there's one thing which I particularly see, which is don't speak well of your competitors. Mm-hmm. Some of the other things that you're talking about in Seven Graces, don't collaborate, mm-hmm. be secretive, don't share, don't, you know, keep things tight to yourself, poach people to work for you, proprietorial possession of staff. And of ideas, all of this sort of thing, that I've got to keep my share. I've got to protect we've got to protect ourselves, and everybody else is separate from us. Mm-hmm. We're not connected with everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think in the bigger picture of things, where does that take us as business people, not just as human beings, but as business people?
as business people, I think we miss out terrifically. It's where you get sharing. You know, the secret of the of a large part, I think, of the secret of the growth of the internet has been the whole idea of open sourcing and sharing of ideas. And out of those ideas have come dialogue and the creation of brilliant new products and thoughts. And that's why the internet has grown so quickly. There has been collaboration. There hasn't been so much guarding of ideas. You know, patents and such like haven't been taken out so quickly.
You know, and a lot of people who may not be latching onto this idea yet may say, well, how do you make a living at that? How do you make a profit? How do you have a viable business that stands up when you're not protecting what's your own? You know, so there is a real mind shift here. So how do you have examples of companies you've seen or collaborations you've seen that actually made both parties bigger in terms of profits?
I can't think offhand, but collaboration, I'm sure, is the answer, where you get together. You see this on the internet, that Facebook bought integration because they wanted to get the much better picture facilities that these guys had created. And so they collaborated and eventually bought them. I think that partnerships and sharing is definitely the way that bigger things. I'll try and think of a good example. I can't think of one.
Well, maybe it'll come a little later. Now, in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about these three pillars that I've heard you speak on before, and I think they're quite pithy and quite concise, and I think that people can really grab onto them. But what I'd like to look at is you created Spiritus. It's an online marketing directory.
Yeah.
What was the original intention behind that? You talked a little bit about seeing how people weren't communicating, but what really was the intention behind starting that? And why is it different from other marketing approaches that you've seen?
Well, one of the things when I was talking to people about where they should get attract new clients, I said, look at the people who you do business work with and see what they're like and where their background is and how you found them, how they were attracted to you, what their values are. Why are they your best clients? What makes them your best clients? It was a guy called Kurt Wright, who I came across about 10, 15 years ago, who said, what's working really well about your business and what makes it work so well? And if you look at what makes something work so well and duplicate it, very often that can be the successful formula for growth. And so in looking at that, one of the things that became very obvious was that in many businesses, the best clients are people who are very like and very tuned into and very similar in values to the owner of the business.
Yeah.
And so this is what Spiritus is all about. It's all about matching people at the level of values. And so when you go in and you look at an entry, the first thing you see is something about the values of the people running the business. And before you start the business relationship, you are attracted or not attracted to what somebody is saying about why they run the business, what's important to them, what are their most important values. Before you start looking at, you know, do they make the budget that I want and is it the price that I want to pay and all of that sort of stuff.
So it's not so much about the things, it's the intention behind the things and the people behind the things.
Exactly. It's the connection at a level of shared values. That's what I'm looking for. And that's what we're trying to achieve.
So, you know, when you started Spiritus, or even now when new people come to Spiritus, how easy is it for them to let down that kind of image, because a lot of people have been trained with, business mentors and whatever who talk about different strategies for landing sales and this and that. How easy or difficult is it for them to make that shift, that it's not about making the sale, landing sale, it's about projecting values? What have you seen?
It's really quite funny. Some people really struggle with it. And what I say to them is just put down two or three words to begin with and then expand it as time goes on and you get to know more about how Spiritus works and how it'll best work for you. Some people, when they start writing their profile, they have no problem, they write it. But just the whole process of thinking about what is, what matters to me? What are my three most important values? How are my values reflected in my business? Because that's one of the questions that we ask them all to answer. How is this all reflected in your business? How does it affect how you run your business, how you deal with your customers? And that's a really powerful question for anybody to ask of themselves and to write it down.
You know, as people are listening today, that would be a great question for them to take away. You know, what are your top three values? How do they speak through your business? And is there another question on there that we've missed that you
ask
people?
What does marketing from spirit mean to you? Because it's a very open question. They're all quite open questions, but they're open questions because when people answer that from their heart, it is amazing what comes up and surprises them sometimes.
So as a result of this, what have you seen evolve from people coming onto the site? And it's kind of, it's a marketing directory. It looks, it's a little bit of a, you know, because it has a profile, it's also not quite a social media, but I know that you connect an awful lot of people through it, through your newsletters and through your social media, and an awful lot of people on Spiritus know each other. What have you seen has happened to maybe some of the business owners as a result of taking this different approach?
Well, this is the whole point, and it's something that we're now working on trying to make into a little bit more formal of a process. When people start to put together, like you've done with your business, you've put together a wonderful team. People are starting to think they want to do such and such, and they want people to collaborate with them. Very much we encourage them to come to Spiritus, and behind the front page of the directory, the bit that the public see, behind there is, as you say, there are forums, there are ways of connecting. And that's what I've seen. It's behind the scenes where members can communicate with each other. They can make contact with each other, and they can ask me to introduce them to other people, and we can do that. So we start seeing people putting together little groups of people to do specific jobs or things like that. That's the sort of background. And we also provide business education and lots of other things to members behind the scenes.
I've been to a number of your podcasts, I've talked on several other podcasts, so I do know that you provide that service. And what is also, I'm going to say this because I know this about you, part of the ethos behind your company is that you give a certain, you believe in tithing. I know you believe in tithing. Can you talk about that and why do you think that's important to a business?
There are two ways that a business can grow. It's got to pay in some way, or usually has to pay in some way for what in jargon is called cost of sales. In some way, helping the people who allow you to build your business. And we have something called the Helping Hand Fund. And that's a charitable donation that goes to a non-profit organization. And it's in a given month, it's 10% of the gross income of Spiritus, after we've paid commissions and that sort of thing, and taxes and all those types of things, but not expenses. And the person who chooses where that goes to each month is the person who's brought the biggest number of new people to Spiritus. And you yourself have won that several times, Lynn, and have chosen where that money should go.
Yeah. I remember it happened right after the hurricane in Haiti.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that seemed to be the most urgent thing at that time, to send money to relief there. And so it's a kind of a different twist on affiliate marketing, because people are not, it's not that we're doing it to make a profit. We're doing it to, you know, have some influence in terms of bringing that charity to whatever, wherever it's going to go that particular month. It's an interesting concept. And I like the fact that it's woven into the fabric of the company itself. How do you think that all of those things, how do you think that changes Spiritus, I hate to use the word energy, but it's true. How do you think it changes the energy around Spiritus as opposed to, say, another marketing directory? I can think of many of them that I won't mention by name. How do you think it changes it?
Well, one of the things that I've found with affiliate marketing and network marketing, which I am a terrific supporter of network marketing, is that when money comes into the equation, things change. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very clear about where you are with money. One of the problems that a lot of people have, and I know affiliate marketing is now cleaning up its act, and I know it's also having an impact, is that people have to be upfront and say, this, if you buy through this link, I will get rewarded. And some people have a lot of problems with that. So I thought, right, well, we actually do have a straightforward affiliate program, which is completely separate from the membership, but it is a straightforward affiliate program for anybody who wants to go down that path, and they get a percentage, they get a fixed fee for every person that they bring to new person that they bring. But that is separate from what normal members do. And by taking money out of it, somehow it frees people up to genuinely say, and they feel freer saying, join Spiritus because it's great. And I've noticed that people are more willing to talk about it. And they say, right, okay, what will happen is that if I'm the person during the month who gets the most, who brings the most new people, then I can decide where that money goes to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a powerful thing, you know, because it changes every month. I'm surprised some months you say to me, oh, you got it this month. I'm like, I wasn't even trying. And it's just because I have a lot of links out there, and it just happened to be that people came in. One way I know, and this is just to give people an idea of how easy it is to create this abundance feeling. I just know I offered a couple of months to your thing as a bonus when people signed up for a course that I was offering. And it's so simple. You know, they get, if they buy something from me, I give them something from you, and then they can give something back by giving money to charity. And it is a totally different way of thinking. There is no pressure. There's this feeling of expansiveness to it, which is, I think, a very interesting idea. And it might give some ideas to people who maybe are doing corporate marketing, you know, different ways to utilize that idea. You said before, when you look at something that works, it might work in another situation. So where's the future of Spiritus? And we're going to, as I say, after the break, we're going to talk about these pillars. But where's the future of Spiritus? Where do you want it to, where would you like it to go?
I want to bring it into the real world. I want to bring it into the non-virtual world, which, because at the moment it's purely virtual. And I would love to bring it into the real world so that we have Spiritus business meetings, business promotions, business connections, that sort of thing worldwide. And the second thing I want to do, and it's funny because we've got Rachel Elnaud coming to the Seven Graces global conference. I've thought very hard about going on to Dragon's Den because I would love to take it multilingual. Mm-hmm. And that would require quite a big investment of money. So that would be another thought, because there's lots of languages where this just doesn't work at the moment. So we could take it multilingual as well.
Okay. All right. So what we're going to do is you mentioned the Seven Graces Global Conference. We're going to talk about that a little bit after the break, but we're also then going to get to these three pillars of attraction marketing, sometimes called spiritual marketing, sometimes called law of attraction marketing, but just basically those three pillars, which are quite simple. And I think that people will get a lot out of those. And that'll come back right after the break. Listeners, you're listening to Seven Graces Marketing. We're speaking with Sheila Jones, a UK marketer, public speaker, owner and CEO of Spiritus, the spiritual marketing directory. This is Lynn Serafin. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
How can we create a different kind of economy? How can we create truly ethical businesses? How can we heal humanity and the planet by changing the way we sell? This is Lynn Serafin, author of number one bestseller, The Seven Graces of Marketing, and I'd like to invite you to the Seven Graces Global Conference, June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, We're bringing together business and marketing professionals, eco groups, and conscious consumers to create a tipping point for positive change in our society, our economy, and our natural environment. You can join us either in person in London, England, or via interactive live stream from anywhere in the world. To be a part of this world-changing movement, go to thesevengracesofmarketing.com/7GGC. And that's the number 7, not the word. I hope to meet you at the 7 Graces Global Conference, and let the dialogue begin.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Welcome back to the 7 Graces of Marketing on Voice America. If you're in North America, you can join the dialogue today by calling into the show toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. Outside North America, call us on U.S. number 480-398-3352. Or, if you prefer to send us your question or comments via email, drop us a line at thesevengracesofmarketing.com/contact. That's the number 7, not the word. And now, let the dialogue continue. Welcome back, and thanks for tuning back in. And I want to mention again, our guest today is Sheila Jones from Spiritus, the Spiritual Marketing Directory. Before I forget, I want to mention her website again, because we did mention it earlier, but I like to make sure that people hear your website. So Sheila, you want to share that again?
Yes, it's www.spiritus.co, C-O, right.
Not com and not co.uk, so it's .co. And as I said, you have to put the www, or you will go to a wine cellar. So if you're looking for wine, you can go to spiritus.co, but it's www.spiritus.co. Great. So let's and also the little clip that was there mentioned that you're going to be, or that we're having the 7 Graces Global Conference. Just want to let people know that you're one of the speakers, and we're going to be talking about scarcity. Abundance versus scarcity at the conference there, and people will have breakout groups and doing all of that. We'll talk about that in a bit. Let's get to these three pillars of attraction marketing. What are they? And let's talk about them.
Well, briefly, they are. The first one is congruence. A congruent business reflects its value in all its behavior. The second one is clarity. A business makes clear its value by communicating in an open and straightforward manner. And courage. The people within a business have the courage to manifest congruence and clarity. So those are the three pillars.
So, you know, you kind of alluded to the congruence pillar earlier in the show, where you were talking about you didn't want the however many percent of people, you wanted just that small percentage. So, and that's really saying you want your clients to be congruent, you want your collaborators to be congruent. And there's also, in my perception, and I'm sure yours as well, that there's a congruence within the business owner and in the company themselves. Let's talk about that. Let's elaborate on the concept of congruence now.
Well, the one thing I want to emphasize is that when I say congruence with values, I do not want there to be judgment. Mm-hmm. Some people sort of think, oh, well, this means that we've got to be holier than thou. We've got to be all about A, B, C, and D. What you have got to be is congruent with your values. For instance, if you look at the grocery market, there's one end of the market, which is all about choice and sourcing and high prices and uniqueness and diversity. There's another end, which is all about low prices. Now, in terms of spiritual marketing, both are equally valid as long as the core values are being expressed in its totality. Where it's not spiritual marketing, and this you sometimes see at, for instance, some street markets, not proper farmers markets, but some street markets, you will see poor quality products, produce being sold at highly inflated prices just because they know that people come along and think that it's what it isn't, where there's deception and where there's not clarity about what it is and where it comes from. So if people are quite clear, look, we're all about quality, we're all about going to exotic places, we're all about you giving you massive choice, and therefore that's going to cost more money, so therefore the prices are going to be high, that is spiritual marketing, attraction marketing. If the company is all about, we're all about price, we source for price, we manage for price, we transport for price, we choose product for price, and their customers are all about price, then that again is a totally congruent chain, and that's fine. But it's where you get this dissonance between tether and witch, that's what causes people to be upset and which causes businesses not to flourish.
Well, you know, and a couple of weeks ago, I was speaking with Chris Arnold on the show here, and he talked about something called greenwashing, which is something that I see more and more and more of, where companies attempt to portray that they have a certain value system. But then when you look beneath the surface, that you realize that that value system, in the case of greenwashing, the value system has to do with being environmentally friendly, environmentally conscious, and very fastidious in matters to do with ecology and the environment. However, greenwashing is a type of practice where you give that image that you are, but it's really just to kind of gain votes or gain favor. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily congruent with the rest of the practice of the company. Now, you said it's not about being holier than thou, but what do we have to look for in terms of that kind of deeper congruence between what we're all about and how we're behaving, but also what's at the fundamental of the company? Have you seen cases like that where companies are not, they're kind of just putting up a front and it's not necessarily congruent at the core?
Yeah. I mean, one of them is the whole of the diet industry. Mm-hmm. There's big chunks of that where they are, really it's the second pillar of clarity, but it's congruence where people are, for instance, low fat. There is this great thing about low fat products, and what is not mentioned is that the corollary of that is that it's very high in sugars, hidden sugars, and the hidden sugars that are hidden under different names.
Like carbohydrates.
Exactly. Yeah. And fructose and maltose and all of these different names, then they are hiding that. But they are low fat, but they are not healthy, although they're portrayed as such. And they have, I think, caused an awful lot of the obesity that we actually have, because they affect our bodies in ways that most of us don't understand. The whole issue of sugar sensitivity is something which I think has been exacerbated hugely by the whole diet industry, which has seen there is a big market for low fat. Let's market low fat and let's ignore. And they know what's going on. Let's ignore what we know, which is that it also is high in carbohydrates that are causing all sorts of changes in the brain in brain chemistry.
And you coming from that background would be able to tell us a lot about that. I'm sure that'd be a whole other show. So we've touched on congruence, and I think actually it's such a massive subject. There could be a whole show, about congruence in marketing. Let's look at clarity.
Again, clarity is not hiding behind something. It's conveying the message, not just clearly, but also completely. Mm-hmm. Because marketers are absolute masters, again, with the diet food, they're absolute masters of emphasizing one thing and just ignoring many, many other things. Mm-hmm. And, one of the ones that I talk about are the banks. The banks have in recent times or before the crash, were trying to portray themselves as being on the side of the customers, giving great customer service. And, coming from the point of view, we are all about our customers. In fact, they're not. The purpose of the bank is to make money. The purpose of the bank is to make money for its shareholders. Mm-hmm. And if customers had realized that actually was their prime value was to create money for their shareholders, which is a good business, it should be, but they were sending out a different message. They were sending out a message which was hidden then we would have been less trusting, or people would have been less trusting of their message, and we would have had a very different situation. Now, if you were a shareholder, then the bank's message was great. But if you were a customer, it wasn't. And it's that clarity. It's that not hiding behind things, terms and conditions, hiding behind terms and conditions, hiding stuff, marketing. One of my favorites at the moment are the programs which promise you a certain amount of money if you pay so much a week. Pay for £5 a month and you'll get £1,000 or something when you die. What they don't tell you is that if you stop paying that money, then you won't get anything. So after about 10, 15 years, you have maybe you take that out when you're 55, you start paying your £5 a month. When you're 60 or 65, you've paid as much as you're going to get paid, as you're going to get on the plan. If you stop paying, you get nothing. That is not made clear. People don't understand that, and they only find it out when it's too late. So they're faced with paying maybe £3,000-£4,000 for £1,000.
Well, you know, what we're talking about here is, you know, in the Seven Graces paradigm, we talk about deception. Deception is one of the deadly sins, and transparency is, you know, the antidote to that. And I think it's also, which I'll be talking about transparency in another show, but it's also got to do with directness. To me, clarity also is, and I can give an example that I had this week too, but clarity is also simplicity, making it really straightforward. And because there's so much marketing, especially internet marketing, I have to say, that is so full of BS. I'd use the whole word. I'm not sure how Voice America feels about swear words, but anyway, it's such a crock, you know, where so much flowery language, you can't get to the substance of what the internet marketer is trying to say. You know, you'll have three paragraphs of fluff that is hiding, you know, maybe one thing that is of use. And to me, that's part of clarity too. It's that directness, that simplicity. It's like, say what you mean, and you know, don't try to baffle me with language. What's your experience with that? When you're talking about clarity, is it how do we achieve that? What do you think is the easiest way that we can all start to work towards achieving it?
I think it actually comes down to the third pillar, which is courage. Because we think that we ought to be convoluted. We think we ought to use jargonese. We think that there's an awful lot of things that we should do that actually, if we sat back and thought about it, we don't need to do. And again, it comes back to scarcity. It comes back to lack of trust. Because people will tell you, well, you ought to put this on your website, or you ought to say this because you might get sued or somebody might do something. You ought to cover yourself. Well, if you weren't scared of getting sued, then you wouldn't do a lot of these things.
Well, what I've found is that a lot of times people put the flowery language because they think my personal feeling is this, and this has to do with, I think, my coaching background, is that when we put a lot of fluff, a lot of times it's because we're really afraid of being seen. So it is this courage thing. It's afraid of really being seen for who we are. And we think we have to be a what and not a who. We have to be a certain way. We have to project a certain image. And it's not about being this genuine person that we are. And I can understand that on a level of, and I'm sure a lot of other people can understand that on a level of small business owner, sole proprietor. It's really about getting clean with yourself and getting courageous. What about when we're dealing with big businesses? How did they get that courage and project it?
Well, for one thing, there's a lot of legislation around that big businesses are very scared of. So a lot of stuff that's around is all about covering your backside so that you have been shown to be doing something. I see an awful, particularly in the food business, which is where I was for a large number of years, in the food industry, a lot of effort goes into proving that you did everything that you could, or at least that you ticked the right boxes, rather than actually making sure that stuff's right. It's more about ticking the right boxes. And I think that's one of the reasons that we get an awful lot of the stuff that we get, is so that if there's a problem, somebody can say, well, yes, but I did A, B, C, and D.
Can you give an example?
Well, yeah, I mean, ISO 900, say ISO 900, which is our trade standard. What that is all about is creating a particular way of, for instance, making a cup of tea and creating a standard of you boil the water to 80 degrees centigrade and you pour it into a stone cold teapot. And as long as you do that every single time, then you're in agreement with the standard. The fact is, it's going to make a lousy cup of tea because a good cup of tea is made with water at 100 degrees into a hot teapot.
Okay. So I'm not quite sure I follow how that is with marketing, but you're just saying the trading standards are not keeping up with what's actually real.
I'm saying that anybody who makes their cup of tea that way, in accordance with how their company is laid down, that's how it should be doing. They will be covering their backsides. They will be doing the job the way they've been told to do it, but they won't necessarily be making a good product. And so much of that in that goes on in everything.
So the idea is that it's not that, first of all, our legislation is, of course, pitifully substandard. I mean, I think a lot of people would agree with that. But you're saying that what has to happen is that business owners have to be not so concerned with just ticking those boxes, those legislative boxes, but really about integrity is what I'm hearing you say.
Yes, absolutely. And go back to thinking about, again, values. You know, we want to make a great cup of tea. How do we do that? We don't need a standard. We need to have people who are passionate about making great cups of tea. Yeah. Like Pret A Manger. Pret A Manger do very little advertising. They very much go on word of mouth. They want to deliver a terrific experience to everybody who comes into one of their shops every single time and then goes away and say, do you know, I had a wonderful sandwich at Pret A Manger the last time I went. They do it that way, and they make every single experience a marketing experience for them. They can only do that by having people who are passionate about making great sandwiches working for them. And so they go for people who are the sort of people who share the values that they have in the company.
So how can, like, CEOs who have a medium to a large company, how can they ensure that these three pillars are flowing in their company?
It comes from the top. And it comes from, I think, looking for people who, again, it comes down to values. Are they people whose values are in line with our company? Are they people who are, you know, in the case of Pret A Manger, are they passionate about people and food? If you're not a foodie person, you shouldn't be working. You probably won't fit into the Pret A Manger culture. It's looking for the right people and having them be the ambassadors for you and who will fit into what your culture is and who, again, it's shared values. People in the business all sharing the same sort of values. Yes, they need to have different backgrounds and experiences, but at core, are they all the same?
Mm. And I think that the challenge is going to be for big businesses, like how can massive multicultural businesses achieve that? That's going to be a challenge. Might be a little easier for the smaller businesses. And I would love to just, you know, offer that as a challenge to anybody who might be listening to this show. How can you bring those? How can you ensure that those values are trickling down from the top? How do you hold them? How do you communicate them? And how do you hold those three pillars in your business? I'd love for people to take that away today. What would you like to have people take away from today, Sheila? Just before we mention your appearance at the conference, what would you like people to take away today to think about implementing in their own businesses?
To occasionally sit back and really think, is everything that's going on in my business really the way I want it to be? I think that there's too much ought to, should do, ought to, all of that sort of thing goes on. More coming from, does this really sit well with me? Is it where I, is my business, no matter how big, no matter how small, is this really where I want it to be? This is why I love the Undercover Boss TV series, because so many bosses find that the message hasn't trickled down, that they hold very clearly, but making it trickle down to the shop floor. I think it's fascinating to see how often it hasn't.
Wow. So, yeah, it's really like the king going into the kingdom and pretending to be a subject and seeing what's actually going on. Brilliant, concept. And I think it would be something that all of us would be. I know that when I get feedback from people that I may have been working with and I hear oh, has my message actually been communicated or not? It's really valuable information. And if, as you say, if we have the courage not to be so protective and fearful of being caught out, rather to go into those situations for the purpose of learning and gaining that clarity and building that congruence, then it obviously works. It does work. Just briefly, we only have a couple of minutes, Sheila. You're going to be coming to the Seven Graces Global Conference.
Here
in London. What are you going to be talking about, and what are you most looking forward to about it?
I'm looking forward to meeting people. That's going to be absolutely the best bit of it. What I'm going to be talking about is scarcity versus abundance. And during the abundance, I think we're going to be looking at various things. And one of the things is that I'm going to be looking at is how can we measure things differently in businesses? Because the way we measure them maybe are what dictate behavior. And if we measure different things, would we get different results? And also to look at abundance as being a question of balance through connectivity with the planet. And I'll be looking at that. And scarcity in terms of maybe some of the things which we haven't actually talked about, how does scarcity manifest? Things like junk marketing, junk mail, that sort of stuff. Why do we have a whole industry of junk mail? And that comes from scarcity.
How did we allow it? Yes, I know.
Yeah.
How did we get
scarcity? We've got to hit everybody. Yeah, got to hit everybody.
Brilliant. Well, I do hope people come along for that. I just want to remind people, I know they've been hearing the advert, but it's if you hear the advert, there's a link there. It's thesevengracesofmarketing.com/7GGC. You can also, they'll be rotating banners on Voice America throughout the day on the Business Channel, also on the Variety Channel. If you click on the banner, that'll also take you to the site, and you can join Sheila and me and a whole bunch of other people either in London or live stream. It is a global live stream. You can have access to those videos for up to 3 months, so that's brilliant. Sheila, just want to say your site again. It's www.spiritus, with a U, S-P-I-R-I-T-U-S, .co.com, www.spiritus.co. And again, we've been talking to UK-based marketer Sheila Jones, public speaker, owner, and CEO of Spiritus Spiritual Marketing Directory. Do check her out, her website out, come join Spiritus. Come check out the directory and be a business owner on there. And come meet Sheila in London. Sheila Jones, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you very much, Lynn. It's been a real pleasure.
It's been a pleasure here as well.
And I look forward to meeting in London.
Oh, gosh, you bet. Okay, so listeners, thank you for listening for that today. Next week, we are going to be talking about marketing and the media. I'm playing with the title. I think it's going to be Marketing and Media, a Love-Hate Relationship. We're going to be looking at the issue of how marketing affects the content and the artistry of television, film, and print media. I'm going to have two guests on next week. One is Cindy Simons, who's a print media expert. The other is my very good friend, Leon Stuparich, who is a London-based independent producer, director, and film editor. He's worked on so many things here in Britain, on The X Factor, Big Brother, Strictly Come Dancing, and all kinds of things for BBC and Channel 4. He's also the director and producer of a film called Road to Peace, which is a documentary on the Dalai Lama, of his visit here in the UK. Now, Leon is also another one of the speakers at the conference. I was so excited about what he was talking about with the impact, how marketers and sponsors have actually changed the face of media. And Cindy is his good mate, and she's got this real insight into print media. I'm very excited about this show. I think we're going to get a lot of insights into that. Again, that's next week on May 21st at 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. UK time. And my name is Lynn Serafin. Do check out the books, The Seven Graces of Marketing and The Seven Graces Global Conference. We'll see you next week on The Seven Graces of Marketing right here on Voice America. Thanks for listening to The Seven Graces of Marketing today. This is Lynn Serafin inviting you to tune in again next Monday at 6 a.m. U.S. Pacific time on the Voice America Business Channel, where our dialogue continues about how we can heal humanity and the planet by changing the way we sell.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
How can we create a different kind of economy? How can we create truly ethical businesses? How can we heal humanity and the planet by changing the way we sell? This is Lynn Serafin, author of number one bestseller, The 7 Graces of Marketing, and I'd like to invite you to the 7 Graces Global Conference, June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. We're bringing together business and marketing professionals, eco groups, and conscious consumers to create a tipping point for positive change in our society, our economy, and our natural environment. You can join us either in person in London, England, or via interactive live stream from anywhere in the world. To be a part of this world-changing movement, go to the7gracesofmarketing.com/7GGC. And that's the number 7, not the word. I hope to meet you at the 7 Graces Global Conference, and let the dialogue begin.